Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. How much stuff do you have in your office, in your home? Do you collect a lot of things? Is it a collection or is it beyond a collection? We're going to talk about compulsive hoarding today, an upcoming webinar from our parish nurses and parish nurse ministry. Hope you can stick around for that conversation. We're going to learn a lot. I am planning on learning a lot today, and I hope that you can as well. They have a webinar coming up in the not-so-distant future, and so we're going to get a little bit of a preview of that and what we can learn in that webinar. Well, I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone this morning, Dr. Marcy Schnorr, coordinator for parish nursing with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Schnorr, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
So good to have some time to chat with you and talk more about parish nursing. What have you been up to since the last time we talked?
Oh, my. Parish nursing has just really grown because, first of all, I serve my own congregation, but then I also serve our synod and also some international contacts. So sometimes I'm not sure which end is up, but we've been very busy. I've been blessed the last year to be able to share the coordinator's role with Karen Hartikoff, so that's really allowed us to expand what we offer without either one of us burning out at the seams. So I've been focusing mainly on educational things, and that we use that word very loosely. It may be individual people who just have questions that need an answer. Mm-hmm. Or it may be classes, it may be presentations. We have an online course that I've had students from around the country and some contacts with international possibilities. So I've been trying to share the wealth, and to one of the things that we have done is to introduce the concept of the webinars. A lot of our parish nurses scattered around the country have a difficult time getting to our conference, either because of money or mm-hmm. because of they have another job, and yet education is so important if you're going to keep up with what's going on. So we're trying the webinars as easy, convenient people to reach people.
Sure, you can reach people all over the country with webinars. I know that several other areas have been using them to help us stay connected and stay informed of what are the current topics, what are things that that we need to be learning about and discussing and addressing in our congregations, in our communities. Well, speaking of, what are some of the current topics? I know that today we're going to talk about compulsive hoarding disorder. What are some of the other current topics that that you've been learning about or helping others learn about when it comes to parish nursing?
Well, there's always questions about disaster care, mm-hmm. and I think we had some things at conferences before, but I personally learned it up close and personal this April when we had a E4 tornado in my hometown.
Wow.
So I was actually on way to a parish nurse meeting in Memphis, but I turned around in the airport and came back home because there were things more important than the meeting I was going to. So certainly disaster care is important. We've done quite a bit with domestic violence. We'd like to say that doesn't exist in the church, but it does. So there, Karen has been on the task force for that and helped develop a program for it. Serving the elderly. Certainly, parish nursing is for all ages, but the elderly is a large part of what we do. And so anything we can do to help with the needs for that growing population. And we have parish nurses that are entering the parochial school and serving not necessarily as a school nurse per se, mm-hmm. but providing health care and health education within the school. And that's something we haven't talked a whole lot about. Our last webinar was Missionaries Without Passports, and that was really just to address that a lot of us dreamed one day of being a missionary in a far-off country, but the reality is most people can't. And now if you look at the population, we have a lot of people coming to us from other places. And so parish nurses are very active in health education and coordinating with the immigrant population, some of which are refugees, some of which are displaced persons. So that's not necessarily new, but it's certainly coming in more ways than it used to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that brings me to the question, which you've already addressed somewhat, describing the context where many parish nurses serve today. You mentioned in a congregation, in a school. But what does that look like in the congregation setting, including now, as you pointed out, many settings where we have an international audience that we're serving?
Right. Well, the majority of our parish nurses do serve within their congregation, but it's not just for their congregants. The parish nurse is one who can help their congregation reach out to the community. And so it becomes maybe an old term that used to be used was side door evangelism. You went out and you met the people's needs who weren't necessarily church before, were a little hesitant about church, but they sure liked what you were offering and it was a service they needed. So they developed a relationship with the nurse and the health ministry. Sometimes it was held in the church facility, sometimes it was not, but at least it was a connection. And many of those people then find their way back in for other reasons. And, of course, that's why the church exists in the first place. So it's a way to share the whole person and reach out in the community. And as the communities are changing, new demographics, it's a whole different system than what you may be new. Different cultures have different opinions on how we get sick. You know, some it's the germ theory, and some it's the, well, it's what God willed for me, and I shouldn't try to correct it. And we have everything in between.
So education is, it sounds like, is an important part of what parish nurses do.
It is. There are five main roles for parish nursing, and certainly health education is one of those.
What prompted the topic that we're going to address in the webinar that's coming up in the not-so-distant future? What prompted this topic of compulsive hoarding disorder?
Well, I think a couple of things. One is, I don't remember the network, and it really doesn't matter, but we know there was a reality show on TV on hoarding.
I know, it was like watching a train wreck.
Yes, and a lot of people would watch those, but you always thought it was a TV show. But parish nurses make a lot of home visits. Sometimes they make them just to check up on somebody they haven't seen for a while. Sometimes they make them because the person is maybe getting older and their family lives on the other side of the country. And so they will contact a parish nurse that lives near mom, and could you go make a visit?
Right.
And when you go and you open the door, you can't believe what you just walked into. Now, there are people who are maybe just less tidy than others, but there's a whole difference between you just didn't pick up the newspapers the last few days and it kind of looks a little chaotic to you can't get through. This is not a safe place to be.
Yeah, and we'll talk with Gloria Bersani in just a little while about that. She's the presenter for the webinar and help us discern the difference between the two. But I guess I should unpack my comment there. I didn't mean to be rude in saying it was, you know, watching that program was like a train wreck, but in the sense that it was sad in many cases, but I couldn't stop watching because I kept learning so much and I wanted to know more.
Exactly. And as I say, we do make house calls. You know, sometimes just because we want to check up on somebody, and sometimes because some family member can't make it themselves and asked if we possibly would, maybe that person's not even a member of our church. It may be that their daughter is an LCMS member, and I live in Northern Illinois, so maybe she lives in New York, and her mom lives relatively close to me, but her mom's not a member of any church. Or maybe just not a member of our church, but she can find me as a parish nurse in the area. And because she's LCMS, she's familiar with what we are. And so she'll call me and say, would you mind going and check on Mom? I know she's not really part of your church, but I don't know who else to call. Well, of course we'll go, you know. So we try to make an appointment to go visit Mom, not just have a stranger show up on her door, but to visit. Either we have a lot of hedging on why in the world do you want to come see me, and then finally they will allow it because nurses are amongst the more trusted professions, for many, many years, we've come out first, second, or third. So we're usually pretty good at building up a rapport with people. And eventually you get in. And when you get in, you can see why they didn't want you to come, because they're embarrassed. And it's not safe. And now you've got to figure out how to help this lady that you don't really know, whose family is nowhere near you. And does that happen every day? No, fortunately it doesn't. But it happens often enough that we need to be aware of it.
Have, as you describe this, as a parish nurse, have you encountered cases like this on your own?
I have. Not one that was very difficult for me, because it was somebody who had good family support, and they were aware of it, and they were already on top of trying to help them. So I found the situation, but I really didn't find myself in an unfriendly environment, one that I couldn't handle, because truthfully the family was doing a good job. But what if they weren't?
What are your concerns when you suspect that someone may be suffering from compulsive hoarding disorder? What types of problems could it present? Yeah, so they have a lot of things. They have a lot of stuff in the dining room or in the living room or throughout the entire house. They just have a lot of stuff. What kind of problems could that present, especially as you were describing an elderly person?
Well, I think safety is number one. You know, not everybody has to be a good housekeeper, but when it's no longer safe, it's so much that you can't get through without running the risk of falling. If you got ill and the EMTs wanted to get to you, they'd have a terrible time climbing through all of this to get to you. It's a fire trap. And if something catches on fire, how are you going to get out safely? You know, this, depending on what they have in their clutter, it could be bacteria-ridden as well. So safety is the number one thing.
Well, I appreciate the time and the effort that you and Karen and others have put into to preparing this webinar to help us learn more. And thanks for getting us connected with Gloria. We're going to talk with her in just a little bit to help us learn more about the compulsive hoarding disorder, help us get at least a glimpse of what we could learn in the webinar. Marcy, any other events coming up? I know this webinar is really kind of the big event, but other things you'd like for us to know about in parish nursing in the coming year?
Well, we always have an annual conference the end of May at Concordia University, Wisconsin. Now, that's quite a ways away, but it's probably not too early for people to put it on their calendar and think about it, because it's run by Concordia University, Wisconsin, and it is, in fact, our most major educational event, where people come together from all parts of the country and are able to, for the novice as well as for the expert, learning new things, forming networks, connecting with people. But it's not a trip you can make without planning ahead. So that's probably the most important one.
Sure. You want to start blocking out that time in advance. Absolutely. What about the Parish Nurse Newsletter?
The Parish Nurse Newsletter comes out quarterly. The next one should be out probably in October, I would imagine. And it contains articles of information about resources. It contains information about meetings. I try to have at least two practicing parish nurses write an item that relates to something that they are doing in their ministry that maybe other people could use, either as a new idea or maybe a new way to do what they already are doing. I try to have one pastor who has a parish nurse write something from his perspective, because even though parish nursing is a long way from being new, there are still some who aren't sure what it is you do and how the pastor and the parish nurse would work together. And coming from the pastor, it's probably a little bit easier for the pastor to identify with it than for me to tell you how it would work. So I have one of those, and I try to have some article about one of our Lutheran International connections, just to get a view that, you know, this is beyond our front doors now. It's around the world as well.
Outstanding. Yes, I noticed one of the articles, I believe, in Papua New Guinea.
Yes.
I think last time. Yeah, very good. Well, Marcy, thanks so much for being our guest and sharing with us about this upcoming webinar. We're going to talk with Gloria Bersani in just a little bit and learn more about compulsive hoarding disorder. Dr. Marcy Schnorr, coordinator for Parish Nursing Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. Thanks for being our guest on Faith and Family today. Take care. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll talk with the presenter for this upcoming webinar from LCMS Parish Nurses and LCMS Health Ministry. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Hi, I'm Joni Harwell. Worldwide KFUO is listener-supported, and you, the listener, are our funding providers. One of the best ways to help is by becoming a day sponsor. Pick an available date to mark a special event, or simply to thank our Lord for His many blessings. You'll find details at kfuo.org. Then click on Support Us, or call Mary Schmidt, 314-996-1518. Help spread the gospel. Become a Worldwide KFUO day sponsor.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
The latest abortion video features Kate Dyer, CEO of STEM Express, who looks to Planned Parenthood as the go-to source for filling orders, saying, "Planned Parenthood has volume, you know, because they're a volume institution." Her constant worry is not having enough baby body parts to fill orders, needing 50 more livers a day, even though they're working with nearly 100 abortion mills. But they're having rampant bacterial problems with several of the abortion mills, to the point Kate questions whether they should even be in business. And the labs receiving the tissue ask her to remove recognizable baby parts because their staff freak out. What worries me most is, are you angry enough to help stop this? Visit today's broadcast link at lifeissues.org. Please do it now.
Follow us on Twitter at Life Issues USA and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. Joining us by phone now, Gloria Bersani. She's the director of My Solutions for Lutheran Life Communities. Gloria, welcome to Faith and Family.
Well, thank you for having me. Good morning.
It's a pleasure to have the chance to talk with you today. You'll be the presenter at this upcoming webinar offered by LCMS Health Ministry and Parish Nurses called Behind the Chaos, Compulsive Hoarding Disorder. It's a webinar to address caring for those who hoard. And I think this is an important topic for us to address, especially after talking with Dr. Schnorr and how she shared some of the instances where she's encountered this as a parish nurse. Gloria, share with us a little bit about your work with My Solutions for Lutheran Life Communities.
Sure. Lutheran Life Communities is a senior service organization. We're based in Chicago, the suburbs of Chicago, Illinois. We have been providing, our ministry is providing services for older adults and their families for nearly 125 years now. We have six locations of housing options for older adults between the Chicago area, Northwest Indiana, and now in Naples, Florida. So our services range anywhere from long and short-term healthcare services, a lot of short-term rehab services for older adults, assisted living opportunities for those needing long-term care, but still, you know, benefiting from some independent housing as well. My Solutions is our community-based service, and we have both a licensed private duty companion service and a relocation service, helping older adults and their families who are choosing to downsize, or as we prefer to say, right-size their home into that next level of living, simplify their lives and help them get jump-started in their relocation move so that they can arrive sooner in a more simplified opportunity to maintain their independence.
Well, it sounds like you've named it correctly, My Solutions, providing some solutions for our older adults and loved ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Gloria, we're going to be addressing compulsive hoarding in the webinar coming up in September. What is compulsive hoarding disorder?
Well, by definition, hoarding is an excessive collection and a retention of collection of things and or animals. And the concern about it becoming a hoarding issue is that this collection and this retention spills over so that it interferes with a person's day-to-day function, interferes with their home life, their health, their family relationships, if they're still employed and working. It often interferes with that obligation and certainly their social life. Ultimately, severe hoarding can cause safety and health hazards for individuals and their mm-hmm. families.
So it's a collection or collecting things so much so to the point that it interferes with daily life, with relationships, with work, those other things. But where is there a line? How can you tell if it's really interfering with daily life, with work, with relationships?
Well, the functional impairments that are, kind of symptomatic are, when individuals will lose space inside their home, mm-hmm. they become very socially isolated. It creates a great deal of family, discord, oftentimes marital discord with couples, creates financial difficulties, puts people in debt. As we mentioned, the health hazards. And so where it's, oftentimes folks are really not found out, so to speak, until they may have an emergency situation in their home. A typical example, one that we helped serve not too long ago, a woman had thought that someone was breaking into her home and became frightened and called the local police. When they came to the house, they could not have access into the house because her hoarding was so severe that it blocked entry into her home. And so once they were able to break in, they had recognized the severity of her living conditions. And that's one area where folks often get found out is when there is a need for an emergency call to someone's home because of a health episode, or whatever crisis they might be in. And emergency personnel such as paramedics, police, are generally the ones who find out, and they are qualified, reporters to the local health department to say that someone does not have safe, egress in and out of their home mm-hmm. Because of their hoarding tendencies. And so that becomes a health issue, a public health issue sometimes in the community. And so that's generally how people are found out. And then that leads to healthcare professionals getting involved with that individual. And that's when we learn that how that lifestyle has interfered with their general health, with their safety, with, like I said, work, family relationships, that sort of thing. So it's pretty rare that individual may identify themselves as a hoarder and seek out help. Mm-hmm. Generally, they're sort of found out through a backdoor situation, and and then we try to intervene from there. But folks are generally very socially isolated. Many times a hoarder person might be living alone. They're very reclusive, homebound. They have very impaired support systems. And so, when you see personality traits like those in somebody, that could create some suspicion that they may be a hoarder.
So in other words, they're reluctant to have guests or family come over to visit in their home because of that
absolutely,
as well.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. absolutely. And that is that's a signal as well when families say, I can recall a situation of an adult daughter asking us to help intervene with her folks that she was not allowed in their home for 15 years. And it was because they were, a hoarding couple. The daughter would come by and visit, bring groceries for them, things that they needed, and was only allowed to drop them at the back door. Now, certainly that suggests that there might have been another family dysfunction there, mm-hmm. That they were not visiting with each other. But, it's very, very typical for a hoarder personality to be very suspicious, quarrelsome, sometimes a bit eccentric, unfriendly towards others and very stubborn about letting others into their home. There's a lot of shame involved with folks who are hoarders. It's a very overwhelming trait. They're often very embarrassed by the condition of their home because of their possessions. But it does really, the hoarder personality will prioritize that isolation and lose those family or work relationships because of this, the symptom, this hoarding symptom where they, just will isolate themselves and to the degree of it's not uncommon that people haven't been in their homes for many, many years.
Some might perceive it as merely just a bad habit or laziness or, some might perceive it as one of these things, a bad habit, laziness, or something like that. How is a disorder different from a bad habit or laziness or a different worldview?
It is a very common misconception that hoarders are identified that, as you mentioned, that the cause of it is their laziness, that they have an inability to control their environment. A great misconception is that this is not viewed as a disease when in fact it is a psychiatric and an acceptable psychiatric disease, affecting right now they're saying 1-2% of our general population, in this country. That doesn't sound like a very many, but 1% mm-hmm. really is significant if you are that person or mm-hmm. the family of that person. Generally that there's not a particular cause of hoarding, but there are some very common traits and precipitating events that might lead to it. It is identified, like I say, as a mental health issue. Sometimes you'll see other disorders associated with someone who is a hoarder. Dementia, for example, about probably 20% of people who are hoarders have some sort of a dementia history. It doesn't necessarily mean just because they're older adults and seniors, dementia can certainly occur in younger folks as well. But common disorders that are associated with it is dementia, a psychosis, folks who might have had a history of paranoid schizophrenia, some kind of bipolar disease, folks with an obsessive compulsive disorder, anyone with a history of depression, a history of alcoholism. Those are very common disorders that can possibly lead to hoarding. And then also there's a lot of precipitating events that occur. Someone who may have had a physical illness that may have caused some of the depression or some other disorders, or their physical illness that keeps them homebound and leads to some of these traits. Sensory deprivation, more typically stressful events in someone's life can lead to hoarding. The significance of the death of a family member, a child, a spouse, divorce, a very common precipitating event for folks.
Really?
Especially those who had long-term mm-hmm. marriages. A loss of a job, sometimes just the retirement and, the ill-preparedness that we sometimes see in people who don't have a plan post their job, post, family moving away. And that's a major event that changes, creates a lot of loss. So sometimes it's a new event or just a progression of an existing disorder that can lead to these types of behaviors. It's interesting, because the personality traits of folks typically, you know, who have a hoarding personality have very strong defense mechanisms. Again, as I mentioned, they're overwhelmed and embarrassed by this behavior. You know, their tendency towards anxiety or depression, you know, will often lead folks into starting to collect things. You know, a criteria, if you would call it, for people who have hoarding tendencies, you know, need to replace some of this loss, some of these life events that may have caused them to, you know, behave this way. You know, there's almost a criteria that says, you know, if I need to be able to keep things around me, it just gives me a sense of value. It gives me a sense of purpose. And if I discard some of these things around me, I'm discarding a piece of myself. And so often people who are collecting things or pets are doing that to replace some other type of a loss. And then that just continues to build and to grow into, you know, a more severe issue. Hoarding is not something that happens overnight. Again, depending on the root of it, it can be years, you know, probably before it becomes a severe issue where we've mentioned it interferes with someone's lifestyle. It could probably take a good 10 to 15 years of that behavior before it truly, truly takes over someone's life.
So it sounds like among those who have hoarding tendencies or compulsive hoarding disorder, that it's a quite often a result of a psychological need to fill something or to maybe even have control over something that was once lost.
Exactly. And like I said, generally it would start with the loss of people in our lives, or like I said, the loss of a job. Something that we had as our identity and our purpose has now changed for whatever reason. And so for folks with a hoarding tendency, that you know, that inability to manage control creates more and more of this opportunity. And so it starts sometimes with a collection to have things around me to make me feel good, and turns into now the inability to be able to organize my space, mainly because I'm so consumed with whatever this other, you know, tendency is, the depression, the alcoholism, my, you know, compulsive disorders, you know, that becomes so extreme that I now lose control of being able to keep order in my home, you know. And as I feel the need that maybe I should kind of create some order, then I start to have this severe anxiety. And then I can't make decisions. It starts to feel like, you know, I can no longer decide what I should keep, where I should keep it, how I should keep it. And so the tendency tends to be, you know, if I have it there in front of me, I can see it, I can touch it, then I feel like that's my control. And that's interesting with folks who have the tendency for things and or animals. Those who are animal hoarders, you know, you hear the stories about the folks who have 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 cats, for example, you know, in their home. And cats tend to be, if someone were going to be an animal hoarder, cats are the preferred pet for that, partly because they're easy to, they're self-maintenance. They don't require a lot from you as an individual. But these folks who are replacing some other type of a loss with a pet, and they feel this incredible responsibility to treat these pets and take care of them, even if there's, you know, so many of them, and even if they can't, you know, if they're sick and older pets, for example, you know, they'd rather keep them and let them live in their home rather than see that they be put down. And so that's why you see folks, you know, just sort of multiply, you know, that opportunity. And a true hoarder personality will spend their time and their money on this collection, whether it be things or animals, for example, before they pay their light bill, you know, before they would, you know, pay, you know, their taxes, before they would buy food for themselves, you know, they would feed this compulsive disorder, whether it be collecting more things or, you know, the animals. So it's really quite extreme. And, you know, there's a lot of folks who have, you know, so many fears of the what ifs. You know, if I start to clear my space, to organize my space, I might be making the wrong decision. If I discard something, what happens if I need it later? You know, there's that just in case. I'm going to collect two or three irons because if one breaks down, I'll have a spare, you know. And so that's kind of the mindset where folks will lead themselves to be. And, you know, it's and that's how you can see how those piles exaggerate more and more.
So it certainly sounds like this is something that is rooted in a psychological situation, as we talked about earlier, where there's a need to fill a void or to be in control of something. Any cases where it's that you've seen that it's passed on from like parent to child, maybe not necessarily genetically, but just through environment?
It is definitely, you know, can be a learned behavior. And yes, we have worked with families where I recall meeting with a couple. The husband reached out to us because he had lived, you know, some 30 years with his wife. They had raised a daughter who, as an adult, left home and said, "I'm never coming back to this home again because you won't change your you know, your behaviors, and this environment is no longer healthy for me." It really created a thorn between the relationship because the things that this mother needed to collect and build around her were more important than the relationship to her daughter. And those kinds of hurt feelings are very, very difficult to repair. The husband had a tolerance for it because he was very committed to their marriage. And so oftentimes a spouse becomes an enabler because it's just easier to tolerate it than to argue with it. And, you know, and oftentimes that enabler, they may not be, you know, the contributor to the, you know, to the hoarding tendency, but they don't have the opportunity or, you know, the strength to be able to influence a change in it. But this same woman had shared that her parents were both hoarders, and that was an environment that she grew up in. And when she, you know, became independent and had a family of her own, some years after she married and had her baby, her parents had passed. And that loss was so significant to her that it just sort of brought on those tendencies that she had learned to live with her parents and her home growing up. And so she recreated that cycle all over again. So it is a learned behavior, and oftentimes it's because it's just, you know, like any other addictive behavior when you're living with someone with an alcoholism or substance abuse, you know, it's very, very difficult to change it, to take charge of it. You know, you don't know where to begin. A great myth about hoarding, you know, is that it is something that's curable, you know, and it truly, truly is not. It can lead to become more manageable, but it generally is not curable when it's got to that extreme case, you know, where it has become, like I said, a time where a person can't perform anymore in their, you know, normal, healthy, daily functions and can't safely navigate, you know, in their own home environment. So the goal, you know, is when you look at some protocols and how can we help serve someone with a hoarding tendency, you know, one is that person has to want to accept the help. You know, they have to recognize, you know, that there is a need for some intervention, that they cannot do this alone. You know, so there are, you know, some suggestions for interventions that really needs to be a collaborative effort with that person, with their family, and then generally outside professionals. And the goal is, like I say, to manage the behavior versus eliminating it, because it is a disorder that oftentimes, like I said, is not going to be cured, but it can be managed better. So the first step is to identify, you know, with that person, what are the stressors that may be associated that led to this tendency, you know, that the person has to determine that they do have an issue and that they do want help to, you know, to try and change that. So it's identifying who that team is to work with that person, both with family and professionals, to work with that behavior. Sometimes it's bringing in, you know, some local health departments, sometimes mental health agencies, typical professionals who help folks with these tendencies are professional organizers, mental health agencies. There's a national organization called the National Study Group on Chronic Disorganization. Anywhere in this country, people can, you know, reach out to a local chapter and find out who in their area would be a support on a professional basis. You know, some of the issue with managing and tackling someone who wants to change their behavior is financially, oftentimes they put themselves in such a mess, you know, that reaching out for professional support can be very, very, you know, limiting. And that's why it requires some real guidelines to the approach. You know, as I mentioned, it could be 10, 15, 20 years of, you know, of this behavior that leads to this extreme. And when you are negotiating, working with someone, generally there's a rule of thumb that you do a guideline to say, you know, it might take us a year or two of, you know, steady work together to help create this change. But when you see some of those programs on television, you know, about the extreme hoarding, that's not sensationalized. That are true realities, you know, of people's lives. And like I say, some might be more extreme than the other, but
one of the few reality shows that they don't have to really sensationalize or build up a whole lot.
This is true. Like I say, but the main thing is for those of us who may be, you know, knowing someone or recognizing someone who has a hoarding tendency, you know, to recognize it truly as a disorder, you know, and to recognize that these individuals, more times than not, you know, are very embarrassed by their lifestyle. This is not a choice that they have made. It's, like you said, it's not about laziness. You know, it is something that's truly, you know, has a deep-seated, you know, psychiatric issue, and folks do need some support out there. And, you know, it takes a lot for me as a hoarder to gain someone's trust, to let them into my home, to understand me, to understand how it might have come to this, and to appreciate that this process is going to be slow and steady. But if I truly want that help to change my lifestyle, it's not just about the clearing out and decluttering my space, but it's about regaining who I am, you know, and regaining, you know, my purpose in life back. And that's really, really the bottom line to the success of dealing with someone who is a hoarder, is to giving them a sense of pride, you know, of who they are, and to, you know, sort of revisit what their purpose in life is and give them an opportunity to enjoy that again.
Gloria, thank you so much for sharing with us about this condition and helping us learn more about compulsive hoarding. We're going to talk, well, in the webinar, we can learn more about how to address it, how to respond, how to care for someone who has these hoarding tendencies. So we'll find out more in just a little bit from LCMS Health Ministry here. In a little bit, we'll talk with Tracy Quatham and find out more about how to register for the event and all the details. So we can find out how to care for our loved ones, our neighbor who might be struggling with this. Gloria Bersani, Director of My Solutions for Lutheran Life Communities. Thanks so much for being our guest today on Faith and Family.
Well, my pleasure. Thank you so much. Take care now.
Thank you. You too. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll learn more. We'll find out how to register for the webinar and talk with Tracy Quatham, Project Coordinator for LCMS Office of National Mission. You're listening to Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations. And that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
Worldwide KFUO has been listener-supported for more than 90 years, teaching the good news of Jesus upon the cross and witnessing to the world on God's mercy. We are on AM 850 in St. Louis and online at KFUO.org, where you will find our Give Now button. It's easy, safe, and secure to give to the Christ-Centered Broadcast Ministry of Worldwide KFUO. You'll find us online at kfuo.org.
Did you know the Holy Scripture tells us how to teach children? Listen to this. In Deuteronomy 6, we read, "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." This month, learn about how you can pass the faith to the next generation and teach children diligently, faithfully, and always. Information at lcms.org/focus.
Hi, Craig D'Onofrio here. I want to invite you to join me Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. for Reformation Rush Hour. We'll have some of today's most interesting and intelligent people on the show. We'll talk about news that affects your faith. We'll look at the world around you and talk about how it interacts with Christianity. And we'll have a good time doing it all. This is the fastest hour in radio as you drive home Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. right after Issues Etc. on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking about the upcoming LCMS Health Ministry webinar that's coming up. LCMS Health Ministry and parish nurses are working together to provide this webinar. And joining me in studio today, Tracy Quatham, Project Coordinator in the Office of National Mission, focused on health ministry, life ministry, and our parish nurses. Tracy, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
You're starting to, you know, be a regular guest here. We should just give you a regular spot here on Worldwide KFUO. It's great to have you in studio and talking about this health ministry webinar. We talked with Marcy Schnorr, Dr. Marcy Schnorr, coordinator for parish nursing, and about why we have these educational webinars and some of the topics and things that it's important for us to learn about, especially for parish nurses and pastors to learn about. And that's really who this is targeted for, right? Those who care for members of our community. Certainly we all do.
But. It is, especially parish nurses in a setting in a congregation often go out on visits and may encounter a hoarding situation. However, anyone who's interested is welcome to join. Just feel free to sign up. There's no charge. We'd love to have you.
Well, and let's find out. Let's see. It's coming up September 15th, so just a couple of weeks, a few weeks away, really, right around the corner. 2 p.m. Central Time on September 15th. What day of the week is that?
Tuesday.
It's a Tuesday, September 15th, 2 p.m. It's a webinar, so it's online.
It is online.
For those of us who maybe have never participated in a webinar before, give us an idea. How does that work?
It's very easy. You just fill out a registration form. We will send you a reminder before it's time. You just basically click the link, and it will take you right to the webinar.
And then in the webinar, you have there are a couple of screens, I guess. There's primarily the presenter or whatever material they have. Will we be able to see Gloria?
We will be able to see Gloria. If you cannot make it on September 15th, mm-hmm. we will also be recording it so you can view it on the website afterwards.
And then you can watch it like a video online. Very cool. So we'll get to hear and see Gloria. And will we have a chance to ask questions throughout the... Or will there be a time for questions?
Not at this webinar. You can, of course, email afterwards with your questions, but she's just doing a presentation.
And there's so much to, as I learned just in the last few minutes talking with Gloria, there's so much about this. This is really kind of a deep issue.
There is, and society tends to look at it as something almost comical. Mm-hmm. We have TV shows about it and things like that, but it's really not. It's a very serious issue.
It is. Gloria and I were just talking about how sometimes it's, you know, there are misconceptions about it. Oh, well, they're just being lazy. It's just a laziness issue or tidiness issue or, they have too much of this or too much of that. But it's really more than just the physical things there. It's really a deeply rooted psychological issue.
Right.
And so helping us, Gloria did a nice job of helping us understand where it starts or what it's rooted in. What we're going to find out in the webinar, I'm sure she'll cover that, but also address how to care for individuals.
Right.
And how to do so appropriately, what to look for, how to respond, what not to do, all those good things. Okay. So, how do we register for this event? LCMS.org?
LCMS.org. Probably the easiest way is to send an email to healthministries at lcms.org.
Well, that's pretty easy. Health Ministries at lcms.org. And you and the staff will help them get right. registered for this event coming up on September 15th, 2 p.m. And this, I know Marcy mentioned, is this the first?
This is the second.
The
second in a series. We'll have some more scheduled throughout mm-hmm. the coming months.
I must have missed the first one. What was the first one?
The first one was called Missionaries Without Passports.
Oh, yes, yes, I remember.
And it was about reaching out into immigrants mm-hmm. and in your own community.
That's right. We did talk about that mm-hmm. for a little bit. Now, is the video from that up on the website?
It is. It's on the parish nurse website on okay. the health ministry. Mm-hmm.
So lcms.org/health. Mm-hmm. And that'll take you to the health ministries page, and you can learn more about parish nurses. Parish nurse newsletter is on there
yes,
as well.
Is.
Lots of neat resources.
Lots of
on
information
there.
About becoming a parish nurse mm-hmm. if you're interested in that. A great resource for congregations who may be interested in getting a parish nurse. Mm-hmm. So, good things.
Yeah, I always enjoy talking with Marcy and Karen about parish nurses and what they can do. Kind of overlooked the opportunity it's been kind of quiet. But as Marcy pointed out when we were talking, that parish nurse ministry is really taking off and we're seeing it is really growing and we're seeing more folks stepping up to be parish nurses to serve in their, not only in their parish, but in their community and now in schools as well.
Right. And even now, perhaps coming up some international opportunities for Lutheran mm-hmm. parish nursing. So an exciting time for parish nursing.
And what do we do for those parish nurses? We don't just, send them out to serve as parish nurses without providing resources for them. And this is certainly one of them for parish nurses and pastors, other church workers. Or if this is a topic that strikes home for, it strikes close to home, certainly something you can sign up for. No cost for this?
No cost.
Just sign up through healthministries@lcms.org.
Right.
Just send an email,
right.
and then you'll get them signed up. Well, anything else coming up in health ministry? I know also we've got some of those mercy trips coming up.
Right, for a mercy medical trip mm-hmm. heading out to Madagascar coming up in September and October. You can find more about that on the website. Always interested in having good medical and non-medical help mm-hmm. On our trips.
Some people that, certainly those who are professionals in those medical and health fields, but also some like me who know very little, but can just show up and be caring and compassionate and help out.
Right. And the 2016 dates are starting to be posted. So be thinking about it as you schedule your vacation next year.
Mm-hmm. And is that on, that's lcms.org/mercyteams. Mercy Teams. You can find out more information there as well. Well, anything else about the webinar that's coming up September 15th?
No, just please join us. We'd love to have you. Like mm-hmm. I said, there's no cost. Send us an email and we'll get you signed up.
Very good. And maybe we can expect more webinars in the future, maybe one a year or more?
Probably four a year, quarterly.
Four a year. Wow. Mm-hmm. Ambitious. Very good. All right. Well, check it out, lcms.org/health. You can find more information on there about what's going on in health ministry and get signed up for the upcoming webinar by emailing healthministries@lcms.org. Tracy Quatham, thanks so much for being our guest, helping us learn more about this and for all the work that you do to keep us healthy so that we can be faithful in all that we do too.
Well, thanks for having me.
Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO. We're going to study the Word of God with Pastor Whedon today. Hope you can join us for that and more. All coming up on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO. On the air, online, and on demand.